Bezer Hashem tonight. I want to talk about a sensitive topic that I think we have a responsibility to discuss. It's a recent phenomenon that someone here in Eretz Yisrael, who is also a musmach of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elkanan Yeshiva University, ordained women. He gave smicha to women. Our rabbein from our yeshiva, as part of the RCA, made a statement explaining that all of the Gedolei Torah, Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik and the Shalshelas HaMesorah from within our yeshiva, as well as in all yeshivas throughout the world, are opposed. In the statement of the RCA, the statement was that it's prohibited to ordain women into the rabbinate regardless of the titles used, or hire a woman into a rabbinic position at an Orthodox institution. Unfortunately, because it's something that's close to us, I don't want to even elaborate how close it is to us. This is a challenge that needs to be explained. In other words, L'Aniyos Da'ati, it's not enough for us, A, to ignore it and say that it's a fringe and has nothing to do with us, which is true, say that the best thing is just not to respond, because it's the worst thing is to respond because it gives it attention. I think that because, A, it's so close to us, and B, is that we have young Talmidim, and Talmidim here who study in this room to become Rabbanim themselves, it's a responsibility for us to explain what exactly is the hashkafa of the Mesorah of our Rabbeim, and to give a perspective that's very, very important. You know, when I think of this challenge, I think of the following story. They say in Europe, unfortunately, we went through many galuyos. In Europe, there was a time that Jews weren't even allowed to be in the street at night to go to shul and so on and so forth. This happened a few times in our history. So there's a legend. It's a legend because people are confused whether it was Rav Yaakov Emden or Rav Yonah Nebuchadnezzar. So that makes sense. It's a legend that one of these rabbanim was stopped by a mayor when he was outside going to shul, and the mayor said to him, "Where are you going?" So the guy said, the Rav said, "I don't know." So he threw him into jail. He said, "Such a chutzpah, such audacity to speak to the mayor of the city, say I don't know." So after a few days in jail, he called him and he said, "Forget about the laws." He said, "How could you speak to me and say, I don't know?" He said to him, "I'll tell you why I said I don't know. If I'm in a state that I'm on the way to shul, but I don't know if I'm going to end up in shul or go to jail, then it means I don't know. I don't know where I'm going." One of the functions of galus, and even though we're standing in Arzenu HaKdosha, it's a function of galus as well, is that there's a confusion, there's a lack of clarity. And I think that that's one of the things that we suffer from today, is a certain lack of clarity. And that's Bezer Hashem, what I tried to do with Siyata Deshmaya, based on things that our great Rabbeim said. There are three basic steps over here to understand L'Aniyos Da'ati, what's behind our basic approach. And they are, number one, what is the role of Talmud Torah for women? That's A. B is what constitutes hora'a, what is hora'a, and number three is what is smicha. Those three things. And I think once we spend a few minutes, well, it's 10-minute hashkafa tonight. Once we spend a few minutes, obviously these are topics. Look, the giant Rav Lichtenstein, who wrote a letter to one of the last RCA conventions that he was alive for, who taught Torah in this. In this classroom, and he wrote a letter being unequivocal as well with his opposition for women ordination. So Rav Lichtenstein would be able to talk for 10 hours about Talmud Torah, 10 hours of what is Hora, 10 hours of what is Smicha. But in our generation, sometimes we have to cram in the Mesorah of Arabeim into a couple of minutes. So, first of all, in regards to it's well known that the Rav Zatzal was supportive of women learning Torah Shabbat Peh. So I want to emphasize that Rav Tversky Shlita, Rosh Yeshiva and our Yeshiva, as well as the Rav's grandson, had a formulation, a very particular formulation to understand why the Rav thought that it was important that women learn Torah Shabbat Peh. In Rav Tversky's Lashon, if ever circumstances dictate that study of Torah Shabbat Peh is necessary to provide a firm foundation for faith, such study becomes obligatory and obviously lies beyond the pale of any prohibition. In other words, the Rav felt that women today need to learn Torah Shabbat Peh because that becomes a very important foundation of their Avodas Hashem. Undoubtedly, the Rav's prescription was far more reaching than the Chafetz Chaim who introduced the Beis Yaakov system, but the difference in magnitude should not obscure their fundamental agreement. In other words, what Rav Tversky Shlita claims is that when the Rav spoke about the women learning Torah Shabbat Peh, at the end of the day, that was just simply an extension, our generation or the generation prior's need for women to be involved and understand how halacha works. Just like in the time of the Beis Yaakov, the women needed to have a basic background in Torah. And now the Rav thought the same thing applies to Torah Shabbat Peh. Now Rabbi Dr. Seth Farber points out that Rabbi Wurzberger, Zichrona Livracha, had a slightly different take on Rav Soloveitchik's understanding of women learning Torah Shabbat Peh. He thought that it was to assure that girls acquire a thorough knowledge of halacha in order that they may be able to obtain a genuinely Jewish perspective. The purpose of study was to develop a real understanding of the halachic process. In other words, Rabbi Wurzberger went a step further. Rabbi Wurzberger understood that the Rav Zatzal's idea was that women now, because of their intellectual background, they go to university just like men, that they should appreciate, they're capable, and therefore they should appreciate the halachic process, and to transmit theoretical underpinnings of the halacha to women. In Rabbi Farber's words, Rabbi Wurzberger, he crunches it very well, Rabbi Wurzberger believed that Talmud study would help women to confront modernity. In other words, that learning of times, even Gemara, would help them confront modernity. While Rabbi Tversky believed it would help conserve the past. In other words, Rabbi Tversky looks at it as a way of making sure that women are connected to the Torah Shabbat Peh. And Rabbi Wurzberger went a step further. But either way, however you hold in this nuanced machlokis, either way, one thing is absolutely clear. Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal used to always emphasize that we don't only have to listen to the halacha itself, but what Rav Rosenzweig refers to as the echoes of the halacha. There's echoes. And everybody agrees. The Chazal Darshin, V'limatem osam es b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. Which means that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as an all-encompassing mitzvah applies particularly to men as opposed to women. If you're going to whitewash it, then it's just like whitewashing any other drasha of Chazal. And therefore, the obligation of Amelus B'Torah is a mitzvah that applies to men and does not apply to women. Is it important for us to adjust to realities in the society around us? Absolutely. But the roles of men and women, which is not the subject of tonight, are fundamentally different. However you explain the nuance of Rav Soloveitchik's approach to women learning. If that's so, then it gets us to the most important point. I don't believe that the confusion here is a confusion about men and women's roles. I actually believe that the next two issues are the most important. And that is, what constitutes hora'a and what constitutes smicha? What is hora'a? And here, the ones that are to blame is no one on the outside, but is us ourselves. Hence this now, the hashkafa is no longer a 10-minute hashkafa. There's also a musr behind this. We're kaim a little bit what we're supposed to be doing now. Yisrael Salanter, Zechusa Yogen Aleinu, said that when it comes to a Jew who, God forbid, sins in Berlin, it's because the Jew in Slobodka, there was something lacking in him. In other words, something that happens in the broader Jewish society If we, particularly as carrying the banner of Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, then we, and represent the yeshiva for all of that community, then if we are lacking in something, then it will become manifest doubly within the broader community itself. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I think, said it even al derech machshava, not just in practical terms, but I believe that there's something very, very practical that's missing. When I was zocha to learn Hilchos Muktzah from Rav Willig Shlita, so he stopped in the middle of a sugya, and he said, how are we going to look at the shaila in Hilchos Muktzah? He said, is it a kli or is it not a kli? As a nafkin Hilchos Muktzah. He said, to be able to really be a posek in Hilchos Muktzah, you got to know Maseches Kelim. And he gave another couple examples. You can't paskin a shaila in Hilchos Sukkah and Hilchos Chach if you don't know Maseches Kelim. You can't paskin on Ksamim in Hilchos Nida if you don't know Kelim. It's not about hora'ah. Paskening a shayla is not about someone who takes a course in Hilchos Shabbos, takes a course in Hilchos Nida. Kol haTorah kula, all parts of Torah are connected. And for someone to be a master of Torah, to reach the Madrega of Ora, is not someone who simply went through a few courses and got a 95 or passed the test. Ora is someone who's devoted their lives to Amelus Petorah. Those individuals who devoted their lives to Amelus Petorah. And it's not a set of tests that a person passes on a couple of mikzos that are common. Kol haTorah kula is what's at stake. For someone to reach the Madrega of Ora, it's someone who needs to embody an individual. Normally, I'm careful to say in the Musar Shmuz is his or he or she. But it's an individual who he mastered all of Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the Chol HaTotzos, all of Shas. That's someone who reaches Hora. It's not a coincidence. It just dawned on me tonight as I was thinking about this, that it's not a coincidence that in previous generations, Smicha was not about a test. It wasn't a written test. It was a person after many, many years would go to his Rebbe. They used to give those tests orally. Rav Soloveitchik, in the early years, the Bechina was an oral test. In other words, it was after the Talmud learned by the Rebbe for many, many years. Then, after all of those years, there was an oral discussion of all of those years that they had learned together. But it's not that the test, it's like a Regents. You got your Regents diploma, you got your diploma. And that's what it's become. That's what it's become. A smicha is a diploma. If it's a diploma, then women could just as well do college courses and they could do graduate courses as well. So that's number two. By the way, notice I'm not going to discuss tonight at all. I just want to add parenthetically. I'm not going to discuss the halachic issues of women having roles, srara. That's not the issue, I don't think. Even if there was a halachic way, at the end of the day, there's something much deeper that's missing. And finally, I think the most poignant part. The second point, again, is what is hora'ah? The first point is v'limatem osam es b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem, a role of men in Talmud Torah versus the role of women. And the mussar that I want you to take away from this, as young men, whether you can come Rabbanim or not, is Amelus Batorah is a lifelong occupation. And there are a few who take that lifelong occupation and they reach the Madrega of Hogiyah L'Ora. And finally, Smicha itself. What is Smicha? Once upon a time, Smicha was not something the institution gave, that Rav gave to many, many Talmidim. The Rav, in the time of the Tanoim, Smicha was that a Rav, a Tana, gave Smicha to two of his Talmidim. Smicha represents the pinnacle of Mesorah. Of course, Smicha today is not the actual Smicha of the time of the Mishnayos, but it's still called Smicha because it represents the idea that a Rebbe is so mech on his Talmud, he says, this Talmud represents Amshachas HaMesorah, continuation of the Mesorah. Something amazing about Sefer Shmos. The Sefer of Geula that the Ramban describes, that Sefer is called Shemos, names. It's an amazing thing. Because the Geula is for a Jew to be connected to his name. But what's amazing in last week's parasha is, the Pasuk says, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, Vatikach es bas Levi. A man went out from beis Levi and he took, of course, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's parents. The amazing thing is, Parsha Shemos, which is all about names, when it talks about the heroes don't have their actual names. How are they described? As Ben Levi and as Bas Levi. You know why? Because the ultimate of your name is not your particular name. It's where you come from. Your name is where you are in the Shalsheles HaMesorah. And that's what Smicha represents. Smicha represents the idea that the Talmud is an extension of his Rebbe. And once again, it's not about passing tests, but it's someone who embodies everything that the Mesorah is. Part of which happens to be that the Chachmei HaMesorah were male and not female. But much more than that. Much more than that. And that is that that Smicha itself is someone who totally embodies what the Rebbe represents. The greatest pride that one of my Rabbeim, Rav Braunschweiger, may have Refuah Shleima had. I remember once when someone said this, that was the most, I could sense on him, it was the most pride he had. Is that the Talmud felt that he had learned from Rav Braunschweiger, who had learned from Rav Soloveitchik, who had learned from Moshe Soloveitchik, who had learned from Rav Chaim, who had represented the Mesorah of Gra and Bris. That's the greatest thing a Rebbe could be, is someone who is the continuation of the Mesorah itself. And that's what Smicha is. Smicha represents a continuation of the Shalsheles HaMesorah. And the Talmud becomes great when he nullifies himself to his Rebbe, and he becomes a real clay kibul of that entire Mesorah itself. I've mentioned in the past, one of the most awesome stories, such a simple story, about Moreinu Rabbeinu Rav Nevenzel Shlita, with Rav Shlomo Zalman. There's no question that Rav Nevenzel is one of the great purveyors of the Mesorah of his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, who Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal held was the paradigmatic posek. You take a look, Rav Lichtenstein has a beautiful article about Rav Shlomo Zalman. And the story goes, I mentioned in the past, Rav Nevenzel was one of the few that used to learn with Rav Shlomo Zalman in his secret room in Shaarei Chesed. Rav Shlomo Zalman was too busy at home. When I was over once in my life to speak with Rav Shlomo Zalman, we used to wait for him to come to his house in Shaarei Chesed. People used to wait. He would take people in his study. It was too busy for him in his house. So even at a young age, he rented a secret room. Rav Nevenzel learned with him in that room. There weren't many people that knew about that room, but there was an individual. It was an emergency. He had to speak to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he was told where that room was. He came to the room, and Rav Nevenzel Shlita was learning with Rav Shlomo Zalman at the time. So Rav Shlomo Zalman introduced to the fellow who visited him. He said to him, "I want to introduce you to my chavrusa, Rav Avigdor." And Rebbe jumped up and he said, "Not Chavrusa, Talmud, Talmud, Talmud." And the irony is that bittul that Rav Nevenzel said, where he said, "Talmud, Talmud, Talmud," that's what makes him one of the Chachmei Mesorah today. Rav Shlomo Zalman had other Chavrusas. I'm not going to say who. Great men. But they never reached that Madrega Mesorah. Dafka, because he became a clay kibul, that he insisted, not a Chavrusa, Talmud. It's also his anova as well. So it's not about a set of tests, smicha. It's not about passing and getting a piece of paper and knowing a few mikzos of Torah. It's a lifetime of commitment that a few are zocha to, whether an institution gives smicha to many or gives to a few. At the end of the day, smicha is a continuation of the Mesorah from a giant. And that's the confusion. The confusion is not Lania's deity about women's roles. the confusion is, what is Hora'a? What is Amelus Batorah? And what is Smicha? If we would project to the world, us Musmachim, us who are learning in a Smicha program, what Amelus Batorah, what Hora'a, and what Smicha really is, then we're much less likely to have the problem that we have. But the problem is that Torah has become something that's simply utilitarian. You need to know the halacha. You need to know the halacha. You know the halacha, then you're able to give the answer. You know what's something amazing? I wrote a small sefer, and I called a distributor. And I asked the distributor if they could distribute the sefer. I didn't really do very much to actively distribute the sefer. And the distributor heard me and said, interesting, call me back. So I called, he said, call me back in 10 minutes. So I called him back. He said, what again? What did you say the sefer was? So I said to him, it's about sugyos in Ksubis and Kedushin. And the back, it has the halachos of Hilchos Yichud and Hilchos Sheva Brachos. He said, oh, I'm not interested, which is totally fine. I don't blame him for not being interested. But listen to why he said he wasn't interested. He said, when you spoke to me the first time, I thought you said it was just the halachos. He said, but if it's about, if you learn through the sugyos, says those things don't sell today. The only thing that sells is the bottom line halacha. The chisaron in us. We can't fix the market. What we can do is fix in ourselves our responsibility of amelus b'tov. We should be zelcha then, if we embody that, then the first step of men's roles versus women's roles in Talmud Torah would become more understandable, and then the role of Hora and Smicha will be understandable to the rest of the world as well. But it's up to you, Talmidim HaYikarim. With that, we should be Zocha to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim. It's not Chas V'Chalila, any type of resistance or anger or prejudice against women. Hafuch. At another occasion, we could speak about that this, the different roles between men and women in Talmud Torah reflect something totally different than Chas V'Chalila, a lower level, but it reflects the omek of our issue that we're struggling with, reflects the omek of what Smicha and Hora is all about. May we be zocha ourselves to reach the Madrega. May you be zocha to reach the Madrega of Higia Lohora, and may we all be zocha to be Mamshichim of the Shalshalas HaMesorah.